Lesson 1, what is mindfulness?
In this lesson, I'm going to give you an overview of mindfulness, what it is, and why it's something that, when cultivated, will help you to be a more effective executive. But first, a little heads up. My goal in creating the course was to make it as practical as possible. And if you're anything like the executives I work with, I know you're busy and you probably want to get to the actionable advice right away. So here's a warning about this first lesson. It's more academic because I wanted you to understand the rationale for becoming more mindful and how it will help your work and beyond. Now, I promise that in the next lesson, we'll get to the more practical stuff, but I really want you to take some time to build the case because I truly believe that if you give yourself a useful context for understanding and applying the lessons that will follow, it'll help you when maybe you don't feel like doing it. Okay, so let's dive right in. So what exactly is mindfulness? Well, there are a number of definitions for it, but one that I really like is by the psychologist Jon Kabat-Zinn, who's done a lot of work on the topic. He defines it as paying attention in a particular way, on purpose, in the present moment, and non-judgmentally. So let's unpack that a little bit. So first of all, mindfulness is paying attention on purpose. And that means that you're being intentional about focusing on what's going on around you, also your thoughts, your feelings, and reactions. Mindfulness also involves staying in the present moment and not judging your experience. So you're noticing what's going on without making any judgments about it. You're not saying that it's good or bad. You're just noticing what's going on. And that lack of judgment allows you to be more objective and also helps you to be present. Now, those all might sound like some pretty reasonable things to do, but take a moment to think about it a little bit more. How often are you actually present? Think of the last meeting you went to, for example. Were you staying present, or were you maybe thinking it was a waste of time and that somebody was giving you the same information for the umpteenth time? Or, you know, maybe you were irritated with somebody's reaction and so you started thinking about what you did last night. Or think of a recent disagreement you might have had. Were you focusing on the person who was speaking and trying to appreciate what he or she was trying to say without judgment? Or were you just taking in snippets of it while you were mentally formulating your own argument so that you could hopefully get your own way? Think of your interactions with significant others or children. Do you always give them your full attention, or are you sometimes distracted by your electronic devices or your thoughts about work, more even than you might care to admit? So usually when I introduce the topic of mindfulness to my clients, they immediately recognize that it's something that could benefit them. But at the same time, it's also kind of overwhelming because they realize how they're not very mindful. And so, you know, the reason why I want you to really listen to this course material is because I think it can help you and learn to be more mindful. But, you know, if you think about it, our society really isn't set up to encourage mindfulness. You know, a lot of people I work with talk about how they go from meeting to meeting and they don't even have time to sit down and think. And so if you're needing to step back, you know, be strategic or cope, a lot of times what they'll just do is multitask and, you know, never give their full attention to anything. And it might give them the illusion of being efficient, but in reality, you know, they're not being as productive as they could be because they're never giving anything their full attention.
I agree with your point, but what do I do about it?
So right about now, you might be thinking, well, that's all well and good, and you've sold me on the need to be more mindful, but how do I become more mindful? Fortunately, you know, mindfulness is something that can be developed with practice, obviously, or I wouldn't have put this course together, and I'll introduce you to a mindfulness exercise in the next lesson. But first, I want to just take a little bit more time to give you some of the reasons why becoming more mindful is important.
Emotional intelligence.
So the first way mindfulness can help you is that it can help you to become more emotionally intelligent. Now, emotional intelligence is a term that's used pretty widely, and so I'm sure you have a general sense of what it means. It's basically the ability to understand your emotions and understand others so that you're able to interact effectively. So someone who's emotionally intelligent is someone who's good at reading people and influencing them. You know, they're the sort of person who always seems to say the right thing at the right time and who always seems to respond in mature ways. Now, emotional intelligence is a term that can be sort of a catch-all for a variety of qualities. And so for simplicity's sake, I'm going to go through Daniel Goleman's model because it's probably the one that's the most well-known by leaders. And so in this model, he divides emotional intelligence into five domains: self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy, and social skills. So let's go through each one. So as it sounds, self-awareness is having a deep understanding of yourself. It's being aware of your emotions, preferences, triggers, thoughts, reactions, judgments, and a host of other processes. And in my book, The Consummate Leader, I argue that self-awareness is the foundation of effective leadership. And while there are a number of ways that you can become more self-aware, mindfulness is definitely one of the ways that you can do it. When you have a deeper insight into yourself, you put yourself in a better position to self-regulate or manage your emotions. And so self-regulation is the second one. Let me give you an example. So many of the clients that I work with know that they're impatient. And so that's being self-aware, having that understanding that they're impatient. Now, fewer of them are able to actually manage that impatience. And so that would be the self-regulation part. Now, those who can self-regulate are less likely to say something rash or make someone feel rushed. And so they reduce sort of negative reactions that occur as a result of that. And so mindfulness is a helpful way to help you to self-regulate. The third domain of emotional intelligence is called motivation. And Goleman defines it as the ability to engage in work for intrinsic reasons. So basically, it's the reason why you would engage in work is because it's meaningful to you, as opposed to thinking that you'll get some external accolades. That has less to do with what mindfulness is about, so that's all I'm going to go into it for right now. The next aspect of emotional intelligence is called empathy. Now, while self-awareness is understanding your own emotions, preferences, and triggers, empathy means that you're aware of other people's concerns. And this is pretty fundamental for leaders because, you know, if you want to know what motivates other people and how you can help them to be successful, then, you know, you got to have some empathy in order to do that. And again, mindfulness can help you in that domain. If you think about it, you know, the more present you are with people, the better you're going to be able to understand them, the better you're going to be able to react to them, and you're going to be able to create a safe space for them so that you can learn more about them. So mindfulness can definitely help you with that. The last domain of emotional intelligence is social skills, which is basically the ability to interact with others and have a positive impact on them. Now, if you don't think social skills are important, then you're not alone. I've worked with some clients who have the belief that work should be about work and, you know, relationships aren't necessary in the workplace. Now, if you have that belief, let me tell you that basically you're setting a limit on how effective you can be. To be effective, relationships are important. Human beings are social animals, and if you're getting work done with others in an organization, then if you can relate to them effectively and have good relationships, you're going to put yourself in a better situation. After all things being equal, wouldn't you rather work with someone who makes you feel good about yourself than someone who doesn't? So when you're aware of how you're coming across to others, you'll be more considerate of them and you'll naturally have better relationships. And mindfulness can help with that. So bottom line is mindfulness will help you to become more emotionally intelligent.
Attention.
The second big reason that mindfulness is important is that it can help you to increase your ability to focus and sustain your attention. Now, most professionals I work with immediately say that they could definitely stand to be better at focusing. And at its core, mindfulness simply means managing your ability to control your attention. So think of the term present. It means being somewhere. And from a mindfulness standpoint, when you're at work, you're mentally at work. When you're writing a report, you're focused on that. When you're in a meeting, you're focused on the people around you. And when you're at home, you're focused on them too. And so attention is a skill that can be trained, and through your mindfulness practice, I'll help you to improve in this area. And interestingly, there's a process called neuroplasticity, which is basically your brain rewiring itself in response to behavior. And so across time, you'll actually develop a brain that will be better at paying attention. And so mindfulness is definitely worth it from that standpoint.
Resilience.
The last reason I'd like to encourage you to be more mindful is that it will help you to become more resilient in response to pressure. Life as an executive can be pretty stressful. Aside from the amount of responsibility that you have, you're also in a high-profile role in which people are often witness to your successes and failures. You're responsible for budgets, results, and the people who report to you. So how do you deal with the pressure? How do you respond to obstacles or bounce back when things don't go your way? After all, nobody's perfect. And so unwanted experiences are things that you just can't avoid. In my experience, emotional resilience can give you a big advantage as an executive. When you're able to hold it together under pressure, you give others a sense of confidence in your ability to be able to lead. And even if you're someone who internalizes stuff, you know, if you have a sense of mindfulness, it'll help you to prevent it from taking a personal toll. So mindfulness has, again, been able to help with this. In fact, as is the case with attention training, regular mindfulness practice can rewire your brain so that it becomes a less anxious and less stressed one. Basically, what happens is the part of your brain called the amygdala, which is responds in response to threat, actually decreases in size. So you actually do become better able to handle stress across time. So in other words, instead of, you know, becoming overrun with fear or worry, mindfulness can help you to take a step back, even during a crisis, so that you can make a more well thought out response in the moment. And then as the connections in your brain change across time, you'll find that you experience the world differently. You'll become a calmer, less reactive person. I've seen it happen in other leaders, and I've actually also experienced myself, so it's pretty incredible stuff. I'd like to end this lesson with one last quote from Jon Kabat-Zinn. And by the way, if you're interested in learning more about mindfulness, I definitely recommend his stuff. He's really well known in psychological circles. And so he said, "Mindfulness is about being fully awake in our lives. It's about perceiving the exquisite vividness of each moment. We also gain immediate access to our own powerful inner resources for insight, transformation, and healing." So who could argue against that? Okay, so now that I've built the case for mindfulness, I want you to do the homework for today. And basically in the homework, I'm going to have you reflect on why you would like to become more mindful. And doing this will help you to cement your commitment to the course, and it'll give you more motivation to follow through, even on the days when you might not necessarily feel like it. I also have a link for you to take my mindfulness quiz, and if you haven't done it already, it can give you a really good baseline to see where you're starting from. And then in the next lesson, I'll begin to walk you through how to start becoming more mindful. So I'll see you there.